they're getting quality contributions from guys on every level. I really think Dylan Reed is playing well in sub-package ball, rushing and doing what he does. Andre Davis, DJ Williams. I really think they're just getting quality play from a lot of people, and that's what's required to play great defense.
DJ Williams in particular, what do you like about what he's doing this year in a new position?
He looks very comfortable. There's not a lot of hesitation from his seat to do that you might see from people who are part of a new scheme. It's obvious that he has instincts. It's obvious that he's worked extremely hard and getting comfortable quickly in that system.
Mike, well, you took over for a very established coach, much like Josh did. What was the biggest thing for you to sort of get guys on board to what you were doing?
I really wasn't concerned about that element of it, as I'm sure Coach McDaniels wasn't concerned about it. I think that, you know, the relationship, the natural relationship between players and coaches is something that's understood in this game and in this business at this level. Those guys know that from a coach's standpoint, we desire to put them in the best position to excel, and I think they respect that element of it. I think more is made out of some of those transitions than it actually meets the eye.
Mike, what can you tell us about Ryan Clark and his situation on Monday?
It's just that we're going to, you know, he's received medical clearance to play by the doctors, but he and I are not going to make that determination until later in the week. From my perspective, it's prudent to take that approach to it. It's not something that needs to have a deadline. As the game gets closer, we'll probably see the situation with better clarity. What I didn't want to do is make a decision early in the week and then backtrack potentially later in the week, one way or the other. So we're just going to prepare as if he's going to play, and he and I are going to sit down here later in the week as the dust settles a little bit and come to an understanding about what direction we're going to go.
What during the week would happen to change your mind one way or another? You know what I mean? Why are you waiting on that?
Not that anything's going to happen. Not that anything's going to transpire to my knowledge, or we get any new information or anything of that nature. It's just that, you know, I've always been one to take the approach that no need to make decisions until you have to, because a lot of times when you make it prior to when you have to, you end up making a decision twice or making the decision that you second guess. To me, we're going to decide once, live with it, and go play one way or the other.
Mike, you personally, do you feel altitude when you come here, and is it something that you're concerned with as you prepare for the week coming to Denver?
Personally, I don't. I understand that's probably something that's exercise-induced, so, you know, I don't play when I go to Denver. I stand on the sideline and watch, but it's not something that I'm overly concerned with. It's not something that's unique to us. It's everybody that goes to play there. It's no different than when teams from the South come into Pittsburgh, PA, in November and December. They're probably a little less than comfortable. That comes with playing on the road in the National Football League. It's an element of the game, but we can't let it be a significant element in that we can't let that decide the outcome of the football game. Our play has to do that.
Mike, was there any players when you were coaching in Tampa Bay or Minnesota in particular that kind of accelerated your career? Maybe, you know, coaching them helped you become a successful head coach?
You asked me about Lynch?
Yeah.
You asked me about John Lynch?
Exactly. Could you talk about how that helped you maybe accelerate things for you to become a successful head coach at a young age?
I think that's one of the things that kind of goes with this business and this profession. I think that's why there's such mutual respect among players and coaches in this industry. And kind of speaking to what I spoke to earlier in regards to the transition of Josh and myself, you know, I think every coach has been given an opportunity to rise up through the ranks and excel is because of a relationship or an interaction that he's had with a player or some players that have been significant to him getting opportunities. And really probably the same thing could be said for players. Great players usually have been instructed in some form or fashion or assisted in their growth and development by some coach. You know, there are countless examples of that. You could go back to the Parcells and Lawrence Taylors and so forth and so on, the Bill Walshes, the John, the Joe Montanas. I think that, you know, it's a delicate ecosystem. I think there's some codependency there.
Mike, do you see any...
Speaking specifically for John, you know, he's a special guy. He spent some time out there. You guys know about him. my interactions with him, man, and having an opportunity to work with him was truly a blessing.
Mike, do you see any similarities between Elvis Dumervil and James Harrison? You know, they're both kind of those, you know, low to the ground type of guys. Great rushing quarterback.
Other than their stature, I don't see any striking similarities other than they have the same jersey number. They're both accomplished rushers, of course, but I think they're accomplished in their own right. I think they have physical skills that are unique to them.
How do you think? Could you explain that? How do you think that they're the difference? What do you think the differences are?
I think that Dumervil is a very skilled, detailed rusher who uses his hands extremely well and has unique quickness. Where I think James is probably a power player first in terms of how he approaches the rush concept.
Anything else for the coach?
Thanks, coach.
Thanks, coach.
Thanks.